Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink.
Didn't anybody tell you how to gracefully disappear in a room?
On this episode, we talked to someone who didn't even listen to music growing up. It was just sort of peripheral. But now he's really into it. Therefore, he qualifies for the podcast. We're going to talk with Jeff Cleveland, who is currently the head bartender at Workshop in Palm Springs, which is definitely a place you want to stop into if you like a good craft cocktail and you're hanging around the Palm Springs area. He spent some time at the Tonga Hut and created and opened the Four Saints bar menu at the Kimpton Hotel while he was running that place for a short period of time. And by that place, I mean that bar. And back in his earlier bartender days, he was in Milwaukee, where he's from, and worked at the legendary Bryant's Cocktail Lounge. So sit back and relax. We're going to talk about all of those things right now.
So do the official thing. Let's start and tell everybody who you are, and then where you work.
Okay.
Because that's different from last year.
It is different. my name is Jeff Cleveland. I live in Palm Springs, California, and I am the head bartender at Workshop Kitchen and Bar.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
This is your second stint in Workshop, right?
It is.
Were you head bartender there before?
No.
No. Oh, look at you.
Fancy. Yeah. When I first moved to town, the first place I worked was at Tonga Hut in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
And I left there after a little while with an offer to bartend at Workshop, which when my wife and I first started coming to Palm Springs was our favorite restaurant.
Absolutely,
so it
my
was
favorite.
Really
I
cool
love that place.
To be able to go work there. And then I was invited to be part of the Kimpton Hotel that opened in November of last year.
Yeah.
I went on board in September, worked on menus for mainly for Four Saints, but for there's three bars on the property.
You did amazing work there. I remember just being so impressed with your drinks there.
It was my first chance to be fully responsible for an entire menu, and I was happy with how it turned out. It was a great experience.
Yeah.
And then after a year and 3 months or so, I had the opportunity to go back to Workshop. And I took the opportunity, and that's where I am now.
I remember your last week at Kimpton. I had one of my best girlfriends was coming out here with her boyfriend. And she's like, where should we go? We haven't been out to Palm Springs for a little while. I'm like, oh, go here. Oh, and go to Four Saints. It's the Kimpton. And then I'm like, my friend bartends there, and he runs the program, and it's so delicious. And then I think I saw on Instagram, you're like, and it's my last week at Kimpton. And I wrote her, I'm all, okay, well, I think it's okay to still stop in there, but my friend won't be there, so I can't guarantee the quality. And she was like, ha ha, figures.
That's so funny.
And then I think you maybe said you were going to workshop. I'm like, but go to workshop if you haven't been there. She's like, oh, we love that place. Yeah. So at least you got to return.
I get that a lot. Yeah. People love it there.
Well, they've been very consistently good, too. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
A little over 6 years old.
Is that all it is?
Yeah.
I remember when it first opened, a friend here was like, you've got to go try that place. It's like changed the landscape here in Palm Springs, I think. Yeah. I mean, that was already here when you got here. But I remember coming here and, you know, for such a long time in Palm Springs, it was, you know, it's whatever. It's just beer and martinis and Cosmos and all that stuff. And I don't know if Workshop was the first place to kind of step up the cocktail game, but it feels like they were. Even if they weren't, they certainly made an impression.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. I don't know if you
I wasn't
history.
Here then, so
no.
I think, you know, there were places like Bar
yes.
was one of the first
Bar
places.
Bar as well. That was I remember I went to both those places.
I don't know the timeline. Mm-hmm. I think they might have been around the same time, but mm-hmm. certainly
I remember knowing about
them
at the
part
same
of
time.
That for sure. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Yeah, so, and I met you because of Tonga Hut. So we've
yes.
talked, and now, so we've talked about this before, but it was like a year ago. I'm like, oh, now it's starting to come back to me. So this is the, tell me your cocktailing history, because
okay.
I remember it's super interesting.
Okay.
I think
it's,
anyway.
It's funny. People ask how long, you know, they sit at the bar and they watch you bartend, and people are easily impressed, you know, as you're banging out drinks
well, you know
on
what?
A Friday because or Saturday
we're
night.
We're watching you do things that we wish we could do.
And
wish they didn't turn out tasting like soap, you know?
Maybe.
No, that's totally what it is.
But people ask how long I've done this, and I have to stop and think. I looked it up the other day.
Yeah.
It's really been 5.5 years, which is always surprising to people at, you know, at my age. That they picture me as someone who's done this their whole life or whatever, but it's been 5.5 years.
He says my age, but that's just because he's salty. That's all. People get salty in their like late 20s, so come on.
I suppose.
But yes.
But I had been a manager of a Starbucks for 7.5 years. I'd opened several locations, which being a barista is sometimes all that different from being a bartender.
I was going to say, it's just still hospitality.
Earlier hours in the morning.
You flipped your schedule, that's all.
I was a manager at the Apple Store for 4.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then after leaving there, I ended up working at a restaurant that was one of the worst jobs I'd ever had. It was I won't say what it was, but it was a fast casual sort of restaurant. You ordered at the counter, they brought the food out to you.
Uh-huh.
But while managers were compensated okay, they did not pay their workers all that well. They didn't allow anyone to have tips. And so
oh, really?
They didn't attract.
Where was this?
It's a chain that's all over
so
in the
no
Midwest.
So no matter where this chain is,
yes.
they don't allow tips.
The food's interesting. It's fun, but they don't attract very high quality hospitality industry people because mm-hmm. they pay so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So my job consisted of babysitting people who were always trying to get away with everything.
It
was the worst job. And one night, after a particularly trying day, I had to terminate someone for doing some pretty horrible things. Their termination ended with me calling the police because they refused to leave the restaurant.
Whoa.
They were standing in the dining room yelling and swearing at me that I couldn't fire them. The police had to escort them off the property. So this
wow.
was my day. And I stopped on the way home at this little bar in Milwaukee that's been there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a cocktail on the way home. I was sitting next to this guy. And we struck up a conversation. He asked about my day, so I told him all the details of this story. And we chatted.
You're like, the police were involved in my day.
we chatted about that and about my job a little bit.
What a perfect bar conversation to have, though.
It was.
Right?
Kind of was. But a couple days later, I got a message on Facebook, and he said, hey, I'd like to invite you to have a cup of coffee with me. He said, I'm the owner of the bar that we were in. And
he didn't
he
tell you
said,
this while you were there.
I think I maybe knew. I don't remember the.
Stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I don't remember all the details. But he, I didn't know him well at all. That night was most likely the first night I'd ever chatted with him, if I knew who he was. And he said, I'm having some health issues. I need to hire someone to help manage my bar when I can't be there. And he said, I liked some of the ways that you talked about things, but I've never had a manager. Just wanted to ask you some questions about it.
Oh, wow.
And I did not guess that this was an interview at this point. Mm-hmm. The way he worded it, I thought he was going to pick my brain about whatever.
And you're a nice person, so.
we finished that first conversation over coffee, and he said, you know, I still have more questions. I know we both need to go, but, you know, maybe we could have lunch sometime. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I got home that I thought, this might be more than him just asking me for advice. I wonder if he's interested in me. Well, halfway through the lunch, I realized that this was an interview, and I just wasn't picking up on that earlier. I think he was also the kind of person who didn't want to propose that he could just pluck someone out of another job.
Yeah.
And
so you're both really nice people.
So, yes, we were similar that way. So the end of our second meeting, I could tell that was the case. And I said, listen, I said, this is something I've never done before. I'm beginning the idea that you might be interested in me for this. And I said, if that's the case, I would be interested in exploring this.
Yeah.
And he said, okay. He said, good. I'm glad to hear that. He said, why don't you give me some time to think about what my offer might be in this situation, and then we'll talk. Well, he came back and he said, I'd like to offer you this position, but it does not make sense for me to have someone in this business as a manager for 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
There's just times that it's not busy enough to need someone there bartending and doing this. So
yeah.
I'd like to offer you the position on the condition that you can learn to bartend. He said, if you can learn to bartend, the job is yours. If you can't, though, we're going to have to go our separate ways because this wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So no pressure.
Yeah, right?
So I showed up. He told the people that worked there that he was hiring me as a bartender, but that I had no experience and they were going to need to train me. Still not sure
what's going to happen.
I'm glad I was trained by the one person I was, because I think there's a couple other people there who might not have been so gracious to me in that scenario.
Right.
But she was great. She was patient. And evidently it worked out because I got the job. So
yeah, right?
but this
you
was...
You got a job you evidently have really taken to bartending, so...
This is a place that if you ever find yourself in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you have to go. It's called Brian's Cocktail Lounge. It's the oldest cocktail lounge in Wisconsin. Been there since 1938. And then in, I think it was 1971, there was a fire and the place burned to the ground. Like many bars in Milwaukee, this is in what used to be a house. The original owner lived upstairs. When you drive up, you look like you're approaching a big house. But it burned to the ground. It was rebuilt in 1971. The only thing that survived were the two cash registers, which are still there today and in use.
Wow.
But this place is completely stuck in 1971. Nothing has changed about it. Anything that's had to be changed was done very authentically to the time.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if it had never burned down, it would be stuck in 1938? You know, which is amazing.
That would have been even maybe more challenging to work behind.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes.
Has the owner, has it like been in his family or?
No. So he was the third owner.
Okay.
He purchased it. And he is now the owner of probably the three most historical bars, or three of the most historical bars in Milwaukee. One is a jazz club, and then another, someone who used to work at Brian's Cocktail Lounge left and opened their own place. He just recently became the owner of that place, so he now owns three really historical bars in Milwaukee, all three of which... It is his goal to not move them forward, but to keep them as the landmarks that they are.
That's amazing.
Which is cool.
Now, when you were there, you learned to cocktail there, or you learned to bartend there. But I seem to remember you telling me that this place had a really crazy program.
So,
it wasn't just regular bartending. I mean, it was
the original owner's idea that people get prejudiced by what they read on a menu, and they order things that they think they like.
The
and
original owner from 1938.
Yes, that they're afraid to try new things. Supposedly, this guy also did that thing that some old-time tiki people did, and he wrapped bottles so people couldn't even tell what was going in their drinks.
Oh, wow.
So The way that it works is you go sit down and you're interviewed by the bartender or a cocktail server who asks you what you're in the mood for, mm-hmm. what flavors, what ingredients do you like or not like.
Yeah.
And then they select a drink for you. I think at this point in time there are over 700 recipes in the Rolodex behind the bar.
So how could they train you exactly? I mean,
so
with something like this.
Well, you tried as much as you can to learn as many drinks as possible, mm-hmm. but what drink you were offered could often be dependent by who took your order.
Yeah.
Because certainly nobody that worked there was at any given time going to be able to think of one of 700 drinks, mm-hmm. but I had my favorites or my... the way that I interpreted what a guest asked for to be this drink, mm-hmm. and the next bartender down the line, you might say the same thing to him and get a completely different drink, but I think that was, for a lot of people, part of the charm of that place.
Well, that's the ultimate bartender special kind yes. of idea, oh. you know, because anytime, I always assume, I go into a bar and, you know, I think you hear people, oh, how about like an old-fashioned but with a twist? You know, people always ask for kind of the same thing.
Yes.
You know, oh, I like this. So, like, my thing, I'm always like, can I have something mezcal but not spicy? Can you do that?
I've yes. heard you say that before.
You see? There you go. That's usually asked for. Can I have mezcal but not spicy? Or tequila, not spicy. And I assume that a bartender who's back there has a go-to for that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh, there are these three drinks at this food. It's just not on the menu, or it's something I make all the time on my own little thing.
As opposed to the majority of people who think we're inventing something on the spot, which
totally,
we're probably not doing.
Probably but. Not, you know, and that's fine. It's like, I just can't think of something right now, sure. and I'm sure you've got something in your pocket. And that's yeah. totally fine. But it's nice to think you go in there and you are making something special for me because it's not on the menu. And at the end of the day, I think in hospitality, you want that customer to be happy, right? So it's kind of neat to think that this whole bar was built on bartender special, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
more or less.
Exactly.
And it makes sense that people would remember certain drinks, like you would remember certain drinks.
We could probably talk about this place all day, but the last
thing, I know, right?
the last thing I'll say, I think we maybe did last time.
Last time I think we did talk about it, because it's just, I really need to get to know a lot.
One of the most fascinating things about the place is they have... my numbers are going to be wrong here, but I'm going to guess and say 60 drinks served in a hurricane glass that look like hurricane-style drinks mm-hmm. that have all kinds of different flavors. They're blended with crushed ice. Mm-hmm. And then they have a large amount of ice cream drinks that are made in blenders. And most bartenders hate blenders, but mm-hmm. even from 1971, this place was set up very efficiently. You had a well mm-hmm. With... a big 5-gallon tub of ice cream right next to the well that had all your booze in it. And people would come in and do the same thing. They'd say, I'm in the mood for this, or I want an ice cream drink that tastes like this. And, you know, there were tons of drinks. This is the bar where the pink squirrel was invented.
Pink squirrel?
So
squirrel.
The pink squirrel.
What's the pink squirrel?
So it's a nutty,
it sounds like the 70s.
Ice cream drink, exactly. So,
well, what's the booze that's in the pink squirrel?
Well, see, that's the other thing about this
you
place
tell.
Is you're not supposed
you're not
to
supposed
tell
to
what's in the drinks.
Okay.
And so...
All right, we won't say
Even when you leave, you have to kind of respect the tradition of yeah. the place to not tell. So.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
There is a bar in San Francisco. If I remember correctly, according to Tiki Research, it is the oldest tiki bar in California that has not changed locations. Because it's called Trader Sam's.
Okay.
But it's Trader with an apostrophe R, so it's spelled Trader.
Okay.
It's in the Inner Richmond in San Francisco. And basically, if you go in there now, it's a dive bar, right? And it used to be this like total like Filipino gangster hangout for a really long time, too. But if you go in there, they have little booths that have almost like the kind of arches you would buy at Home Depot to grow vines on or something.
Okay.
They have those kind of arches, and they put like some foliage and straw on there, so it looks like a little, each booth is its own little thing. And they're named, ones like Kauai and all that. But when you look at the menu, the drink they're most known for is some kind of like chocolate milk vanilla ice cream with like vodka in it drink.
Okay.
I'm sure it's got cow in the title somewhere or moo. And that's a drink everybody knows for. And we're going there, and I'm just like, oh, it's like milkshakes with booze.
Exactly.
But
and people like to say they don't like those things, but I've seen people sit at that bar and drink three or four in a night.
Totally. Well, you know, just people sometimes just need to get over themselves. There's a time and a place for these things. Have fun with it, you know.
Exactly.
So is that the only place you worked before you came out to California?
It's not. So I
you bounced around.
I left there, and I, for a very short period of time, worked at a Vietnamese restaurant. That was short-lived, and then I was the bar manager at a Spanish tapas restaurant.
Ooh.
And so that was...
that means you're saying
that was more of
delicious.
and I was a bar manager at a place that had a beverage consultant, and he did a lot of the things on the menu. We would contribute things. The food was, I miss the food to this day from that place. The food was delicious. That was where I was working when we decided to sell our house and move across the country and not shovel snow anymore. So
yeah. That brought us to. So actually, I had a question for you about the Kimpton stuff, because that was the first time it was all yours. But it's still a hotel thing, so you didn't get to play the music there, right?
Not the music.
Not the music there.
There is one person who works for Kimpton who selects
the music
that does
everything
for
all of
their properties.
Yeah.
Yes.
So have you ever had the opportunity to run the music in any of the bars you were at?
No, not really.
I was going to say, because it seems like where you've gone, it's been kind of a controlled environment.
Yes.
So you can't really have that kind of leeway.
No. I actually never have.
Tonga
I probably,
bar.
I mean, I'm sure we'll start talking about this now, but I'm probably not a person who would be good at that.
But you say that. It just depends where you're at. Because I know when we talk music before, you're like a kind of an Americana guy, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that just kind of depends where you are. Like if you were at the Ace at certain times, you could totally play that, you know, certain times.
Okay.
It's like an afternoon vibe,
sure.
I think.
Probably.
Well, what would you play? Okay. What is your playlist? And you should describe your bar to me. Say it's all yours.
Okay.
Tell me the dream. Tell me the dream.
For the music?
No, the whole thing. Your bar... And the music, because that would be part of it.
I have to go to work today. I don't think we have enough time to talk about all of this.
You would hire somebody else to do the music?
I would hire you to do the music, probably.
Uh-huh,
so.
Yeah.
I have this... The reason I always thought I would be a terrible guest on your podcast, and then you convinced me otherwise, I grew up in a family that did not listen to music.
That's right.
And we did not, nobody played music in my house. We didn't listen to music in the car when we drove down the road.
Was it just that people just not into music? Was there a religious thing behind it too?
The biggest part of it was we grew up in a strict religious family,
yes.
And my dad was a Baptist minister, and so there were lots of things that we... my family
was
choosing not to exactly, and so we didn't do that. And so, people always say, "Hey, you know that one song?" Mm-hmm. And I kind of don't know that one song because in my 20s and even my 30s, I didn't listen to music that was on the radio.
I think I told you that.
You
I had
did.
An ex-boyfriend who had a similar
yep.
story.
And so, I mean, I was. This is a true story. It happened this week. I was hanging out at a friend's house, and he yells out, "Hey, Alexa, play a playlist by the Beatles." And so we were listening to this Beatles playlist, and this song came on, and I was like, "Oh, I know this song, but I did not know this was the Beatles." And that seems probably so ridiculous to most people, but I never really listened to music when everybody was listening to that, and...
Yeah.
And so that's been true for probably more of my life than it's not been true.
Mm-hmm. But you've made
then,
up for it.
And I've made up for it. And I would say I love music. I listen to music all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I am the person who I recognize a song but I am not the person who can tell you what album that was. I cannot tell you the name of the song, and there are times I cannot even remember exactly who the artist is unless I've listened to it for a long time, because I just enjoy it, but I think as soon as it's on, my brain a little bit turns off, and I just like it on. I play it all the time. Sometimes my wife says, you could just listen to nothing for a little bit, but I listen to music all morning until
you're
I go to work.
It.
And so I feel unusual because of that, because I'm always, especially in this industry, surrounded by people who know so much about music. They have such strong opinions, and I kind of don't have strong opinions about music. I can listen to almost anything. And you know, with
you
a couple, with a,
you yet. That's
with a
all.
Couple of exceptions. So that's.
So then that's okay. Well, you say that. So that does not mean though, because you're also your hospitality game is totally on point, and you've worked in these places where hospitality is. I'm sure you were hired for your talent and for your hospitality skills. So if you had your own place, that is. Just this morning, a friend of mine was describing it to me as the Audible wallpaper. You know, if you have a business, it's part of what you're doing. It's part of the environment. So, what would you play then? What would you want that environment to be? Is it reflecting you? Is it reflecting a vibe? I mean, you have ideas.
See, the reason, okay.
The reason why we don't have enough time.
I will answer your question, but I will say the thing that would make it so enjoyable for me would probably not help me succeed, because it would be a really chill place. It would be a really relaxed place.
Where else can you do chill and relax?
I like loud music, but not always in a bar. I like to go to a place and be able to talk and do all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the playlist in my bar would be sort of like the playlists at Workshop, which I had nothing to do with. But
but you enjoy it.
I do enjoy it.
And well, that's
so it
handy,
has music.
You have to work there.
Exactly. It has music like The National and The War on Drugs, who I know that you don't like as much as I do.
You like them much more than I do. I don't hate them. They just don't do it for me the way they do for a lot of people.
Exactly.
But that's fine.
Have you seen them in a show since I've talked to you?
No.
I saw them play live, and that was a really, really
great
show.
I've heard they're
show.
Great.
They're great.
I've heard they're great. They just don't latch on to me for some reason. That's cool. It means there's extra space for you to stand there.
There you go.
See?
But it is that kind of music that's fun and not always the music that you have to listen to super loud and to enjoy.
Some of the stuff that you've told me you like and everything like tips into that kind of Americana thing, but it also tips into a bit of a stoner Americana thing sometimes. Not The National. Those guys are drunks. I don't know if you've ever seen them live.
I have not.
But you may have heard this about them.
Yes.
Just severe alcoholics, but fun ones apparently. From what I understand. In fact, the National, they're like addicted to the show Bob's Burgers, which I don't know if you've ever seen that TV show or not.
I know of it, but I've not.
They've done music for it. Like, they've done special songs just for Bob's Burgers. Like, silly songs singing about turkey and gravy and stuff, things like that. But it's that guy, he's like, the turkeys and the singing with that voice, right? But it's interesting, you know, some of the stuff that you've talked about and thrown out there. Like if you had your chill vibe bar, I'm like, you would have like probably Ace Hotel people, because you'd have these like bohemian kids.
I haven't spent enough time at the Ace Hotel to know what you mean by that.
Well, so basically over the one here in Palm Springs, that's like where the Coachella kids go.
Okay.
You know, they've got the floppy hats and the pretty bohemian 70s dresses and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's interesting because they'd probably gravitate to that kind of music. You know, and everything. I think it would be great. It'd be wonderful.
You're so nice.
You're so nice. But you know what? You never know. And I think this is a good place to do something like that. Either here or like, I don't know, Santa Monica. Which would so not be chill.
That's true.
That's true. So you have obviously never, so I like to ask people if they've named cocktails after songs or anything. I'm guessing you probably haven't.
So,
or have you?
That is something. That's my fallback trick. If I cannot come up with a name for something, I'm not unique to this. But
Oh, no, I know a lot of bartenders pull these things up.
People really, it's way harder to name a drink than it is to create a drink for me. And I always try to make there be some logical connection to the name of the drink, to the drink. I research the country where the ingredients are from. Or,
names are hard.
You know,
naming is tough, man.
And when I reach a point where I say, okay, this is futile, I'm not going to find any real connection to what's in this drink, I just, what are some of the songs that I've really enjoyed listening to? And does this song have a good fit or feel with this drink? And then I'll just name it after a song, and then it has nothing to do with it other than I made this drink at a time when I like this song, and I feel
right?
like they could you could listen to this song while you enjoy this drink.
Do you remember any of those off the top of your head? Since I'm sure they come and go.
It's been a while since I've named a drink.
Well, that leads me to...
I put a drink with no alcohol. I always try to have drinks that don't have alcohol in them on the menu. And I had one of the last ones I made. My brain just went blank. I thought of it. I started describing it, and I forgot.
Well, let me ask you about mocktails then, because I...
Clean Living.
Clean Living was the name of the drink?
Was the name of the drink.
Nice.
So,
a friend of mine just wrote a book called... Clean and Dirty Drinking, I think is the
I've seen the book, know of the book, I haven't looked at it.
And she basically, on each page, she has a cocktail and then the mocktail that goes with it.
Okay.
You know the adjustments that you make to make it an especially tasty non-alcoholic drink.
Okay.
And I've talked with people about that, and sometimes, because there's just, I think in the last couple of years, been this very much growing movement in the mocktail community, we'll say, you know, and which was very handy for me a couple years ago when I went to Paris. I think I might have told you about this because I was with a girlfriend of mine who had been 25 years sober the week that I got there, and all I wanted to do was go to cocktail bars. And she insisted on going with me. But we went to a nice enough bars that when she was like, alcoholique, they're all okay, and they would make her a really lovely drink.
Okay.
Instead of just pouring her a glass of ginger beer
sure.
or whatever, because they have these beautiful syrups and, you know,
or making
different
a fancy
juices.
Lemonade.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You know, or even it's a ginger syrup with some soda and changing it up a little bit, doing something else. And she was like, I'm having the best time doing this with you because I'm not left out.
I think that's it right there. People don't want to feel left out. Not unique to this happening either, but that person who comes away from their group, leans across the bar and says, I'm pregnant and I haven't told anyone yet. They need to see me with a drink, but it can't have any alcohol in it. And I think I often think about that, not only pregnancy, but people don't drink for medication. People might be taking a break and giving them something that isn't boring in their hand, that makes them feel like they're part of what everyone else is doing. I think that's important.
That's true. Actually, I never really even thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I looked at it more as like, you know, maybe someone's a designated driver, maybe the pregnancy thing, but didn't think about the feeling left out part of it, which you're absolutely right. Because I used to, when I was younger, I had a friend that called me the drinkiest non-drinker he knew, because he didn't really associate me as someone who drank a lot. But he's like, but you go out drinking, but you never seem drunk, and you're not really, you know, you always have a drink in your hand, but didn't match his criteria as like a boozer or anything. But a lot of times the drinks are just meh, you know, I'm just getting like a 7 and 7 or something. I was in no rush to finish this thing. It wasn't a big deal. And a lot of times I would just get a drink just because we were all out today.
Sure.
And we'd get a drink. And the other thing that I think is fun, especially hanging around like tiki circles, is you sometimes on the mocktails you will get these garnishes that are like just out of this world.
Yes.
So you really get the treat.
Yeah,
and everything.
For sure.
So you guys at Workshop, are you offering some mocktails here and there? Are
so
you starting to put things like
we
that
have
on
a
the menu?
We have a couple of things. We make our own ginger beer in-house, and that's probably the most popular thing. And then there are a list of several drinks on the menu, like your friend's book, that we've modified to make them work without alcohol in them. So,
that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
For sure.
So I feel like I should ask you a little more music stuff before we go away.
Okay.
What are some favorites of yours right now?
I have started re-listening to Bon Iver a lot.
That's right, we had that conversation.
We had this.
Because I only like the first record.
Yes. Which is probably the best record.
It's pure. There's something about it.
Yeah.
And I totally respect. Doesn't he have like a new project right now? It's like a duo.
Big Red Machine.
That's what it is. What? I haven't even heard that.
It's good.
You should listen
to it. So it's him and...
Big Red Machine?
Yes.
Okay.
It's him and... one of the guys from the National.
Is it him and a National guy?
Yes.
I didn't even know
yes.
that.
Yes.
I'm so out
I think,
of it right
I
now.
I think Aaron, but again, I'm not the names person.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which is why I can't tell you what my bar playlist would be, because I just can't remember
the
all their names.
Names.
But I'll give you my playlist, and then you'll know
Perfect.
What it would be like to sit and have a drink in my
it's
bar.
It's a Big Red Machine. Okay.
Yes, I have liked that record. Jim James, I really enjoy.
See you again with the Stoners.
But, which is weird because I am I the farthest person in the world from
are.
That. But
that's why it cracks me up that you love that stuff. But I mean, I'm joking around. They're just... It's not really stoner music. It just caters to a crowd that tends to smoke some weed. Because okay. I don't smoke. It bores me to tears. But I love a lot of that stuff, too. I love Jim James. I love my morning jacket. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I don't... And have you seen my morning jacket live?
No.
Did we talk about this?
No.
I don't even know if they even tour anymore. It seems like he's just been doing a solo thing for the last few years. If they ever come around, go see them. Because they're the most incredible live band. One of the most incredible live bands. You can like think they're okay musically, but then when you go see them live, you're like, that was a show.
Awesome.
Because they're just so into everything.
Okay.
Characters. So you've been getting into your...
I always hope for bands I like to have concerts in the area on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when it's easy to get off of work, because they're always on the weekend and
right.
there's no chance of that. So sometimes
well,
I'm lucky, sometimes I'm not.
How late does Palm Springs go, though? I mean...
As a town,
doesn't it shut down pretty early?
Compared to other towns, for sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But places I've worked, you're always there until close. And
And then you have to close.
And then you have to close.
Yeah.
So
you're there till like
And then the town shut down after that.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. So you're just done.
Yes.
Well, okay. We had a half hour here.
Okay.
I figure that's probably good, unless there's something you want to let me know. People can find you at Workshop currently.
People can find me at Workshop.
And you're the bar manager there. So
There's a bar manager. Her name's Michelle.
Okay.
Her and Dave are the co-bar managers of Truss and Twine and of Workshop, and they're responsible
Truss and
for
Truss and Twine
them.
Is like the brother bar.
More of a bar. They have food there. It's delicious.
Yeah.
You should go when you're in
Palm
Springs.
Oh, I've been. I like that place too. I didn't realize it was related. I just thought, oh, what a coincidence! They're in the same little plaza.
Sure.
You know. But
definitely two spots to check out when you're in town.
Yeah.
And so go to Four Saints. The people I worked with are still there, and I
still do some good work.
I'm proud of what
you
we accomplished there for sure.
Oh, that's good, awesome.
Yeah.
So, but are you creating new drinks? Because I know the menu there is kind of a standard menu.
It doesn't change a lot. There's one new drink that I guess I'm somewhat responsible for that's on the menu now that is appealing to the vodka not too sweet crowd. So
there you go.
You gotta have a drink for that.
Right, totally.
So
no, definitely Workshop, and that's so they can find you. Should anyone, you want to promote any social media or any of that
I
kind of
always
business, so
forget
just,
to post.
Yeah.
But it's just my name, Jeff Cleveland. On,
there you go. All right, cool. Well,
okay.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you.
And there you have it, Jeff Cleveland on Instagram, and go check out his work at Workshop in Palm Springs if you find yourself in that part of the world. I highly recommend going in and finding Jeff and saying hello. You can ask him for all kinds of advice on things to do while you're in town, because he is really good at that hospitality thing and the nicest, nicest guy. So thank you so much, Jeff, for being a part of the podcast. We're really happy to have you here, and I hope that you folks listening go to Palm Springs and go say hey to Jeff too. You fucked it, friend, it's on its head, it stuck the street. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com, and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guests and our Spotify playlist, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.